we present John le Carré's A Perfect Spy, adapted for radio in 8 parts by René Basilico. Starring James Fox as Magnus Pym, with James Grout as Jack Brotherhood, and Brenda Bruce as Miss Dubber. A Perfect Spy.
Well played, Jack.
Yes, well done.
Well played indeed. I think we absolutely stymied them.
That book Lederer was talking about, the analogue?
Ridiculous.
Tell our cryptographers to try Grimmelhausen's Simplicissimus.
What?
And tell them to be sure to use an early text.
What on earth are you talking about?
It's a book, Beau. Magnus takes it everywhere with him.
It's a present from his old flame, Hempel. Sometimes known as Pitt, sometimes known as Zavorsky, but always through long habituation known as Poppy, dear Poppy, best of best friends.
Hello, Jack. They're waiting for you.
Who's they?
The usual. Beau, Nigel, Dorney.
Oh, the three wise men.
And Mountjoy from the PM's office.
Oh, God.
Have you spoken to Nigel this morning?
No, why?
The SIGINT analysts have run the Simplicissimus book code across the Czech transmissions.
And?
The results are positive.
So, the cat's very definitely among the pigeons.
It's already ruffled a few feathers.
I can imagine. Small conference room, is it?
Of course.
I suppose the question is now, when do we tell the Americans?
Before they tell us, I would suggest. It's the one time in this whole business that we've got there before them.
I'm sure that will be the PM's attitude. We've prevaricated long enough.
Far too long, in my opinion.
Ah, Jack, come in, come in.
Thank you. I haven't kept you waiting.
No, no. Sit yourself down. Next to Nigel.
You heard about Simplicissimus.
I heard. Yes. We shall all be eating humble pie, I fear.
Giant-sized portions.
Dorney has just expressed the view, Jack, that the time has come to mount a full-scale search operation for Pym and hang the consequences.
And do we know where to start looking?
Exactly.
We've got to be seen to be doing something, and we certainly don't want the Americans to find him for us.
No, indeed. That would be altogether too much.
Sorry, Beau.
What is it, Kate?
There's a signal, personal for Nigel.
Couldn't it wait?
It's Mark Grade A from Vienna.
Oh,
thanks.
Sorry to have disturbed you.
No, no, Kate, quite right.
Oh,
quite right.
God.
Could have a bearing. Well, Nigel, what is it?
Mary Pym has disappeared.
Oh. You mean disappeared? I thought she was under round the clock surveillance.
So did I.
She obviously gave them the slip.
Well, why would she do that?
Good question, Mountjoy. Care to offer an opinion, Jack?
Could we hear the details first, do you think?
Nigel?
Well, headlines only. There's a full operational report to follow.
Very proper.
Headlines only, then, Nigel?
Well, it seems Mary Pym attended a meeting of the Diplomatic Wives Association at Lumsden's house.
Who's Lumsden?
Head of Chancery in Vienna.
Ah.
When was this?
Yesterday afternoon. She pleaded sickness, went into the garden for a breath of fresh air, and never came back.
I hope no one is going to blame the Lumsdens for this.
I'm sure they won't.
It was not, after all, their job to maintain surveillance on her.
Point taken, Dorney.
The surveillance team were apparently watching the front of the Lumsden house. They thought she was safe inside.
They thought wrong, didn't they?
I don't think anyone could have possibly anticipated this particular turn of events.
Perhaps they should have done.
Spilt milk now.
They checked the airlines, Nigel.
She was booked on the first British Airways flight to London this morning, and she gave her address as the Imperial Hotel, Vienna.
Which, of course, is where she wasn't.
Correct.
She booked herself onto a standby flight to somewhere else.
Lufthansa to Frankfurt, late last night.
Last-minute booking.
Naturally. Well, we didn't find out about it until after she'd landed in Frankfurt, and by then it was too late.
My God, she could be in Prague by now.
All sounds a bit of a muddle to me.
No, Mountjoy, it sounds like good tradecraft.
Hers or her husband's?
Well, that's the $64,000 question, isn't it? Go away, whoever you are. All right. Damn you. 3292. Hello. Speak, damn you. Check call sign. Oh, wait. Oh, please, wait. Now, Prague procedures. I read you. Now. You want a meeting. All right, I'm just staying here. Oh, don't worry, I'll be here. Oh, now what? Yes?
It's me, Nigel.
You've been listening in on my phone?
No, why?
Well, some joker just called me with a check call sign.
What did he want?
Oh, God knows.
Well, if he comes through again, let us know at once. Oh, and use the operational line.
Oh?
Yeah, Bears ordered the Whitehall lines to be disconnected. We've switched to operational lines only.
So, he's hit the panic button at last.
Mountjoy insisted. The PM too, presumably. We're circulating Pym's description and photograph to every police station in the country.
They won't find him.
Probably not, but as Dorney said, we have to be seen to be doing something. Now, do keep in touch, Jack, won't you?
Do keep in touch, Jack. If you want to collect your pension. But it can't be. Hello, who is it?
It's me, Jack.
What the... Oh, come up, damn you.
You alone, Jack?
Come in.
I phoned from the call box on the corner.
Oh, the hell with that. What do you think you're up to, Mary Pym? They got half the service out looking for you.
I had to talk to you, Jack, face to face with no one in the way.
Well?
I think Magnus is in Devon. I'm sure of it, in fact.
Oh, why?
Because that's what he said.
Well, that's what who said?
Poppy.
What?
His check controller, that's what Magnus calls him, Poppy.
You've met him?
Yes, yesterday. He smuggled a message to me asking me to meet him.
So you gave your watchdogs the slip?
Yes.
And what did this Poppy want?
He tried to pump me for information. He thought I might know where Magnus would be.
So he doesn't know?
No. He wants to find Magnus as much as we do. He wants to pull him out, take him to Czechoslovakia and heap honours on his head.
That's the guess.
Apparently they've been friends since they were students together. In Bern.
Bern? Good God, all those years ago.
Does it add up, Jack?
It might, with some very complicated arithmetic. So what did he say about Devon?
Magnus once told him that he'd put his mother in a house by the sea in Devon.
Whereabouts in Devon?
Somewhere near Exeter. Poppy thought Magnus might have gone there to his mother.
So?
That's the point, Jack. Magnus hasn't got a mother. She died when he was a kid.
Fix yourself a drink, Mary. I've got some calls to make. Near Exeter and by the sea. Now that narrows the field down a bit.
Dear Miss Dubber, I wonder if you know how much you've meant to me over all these years.
Oh, go away, you silly man. You get back to your writing and those papers of yours. The sooner you finish with them, the better.
I have finished, more or less.
Oh, dear. Does that mean you'll be leaving us?
Not just yet, Miss Dubber. Not for a little while.
Oh, good.
There are one or two papers I still have to clear up.
What about that horrid cabinet of yours?
Bandula?
Will that be going back to London?
Oh, yes. Somebody will be down to collect it within a week, I should think.
Good. That's the only ugly thing you've ever brought into my life, Mr. Canterbury. It really is an eyesore.
Here, let me do the washing up for a change.
I can manage perfectly well, thank you.
Well, I'll do the drying then.
No need. The dishes can drain themselves.
I like drying the dishes. I can stay and talk to you then.
You can stay and talk anyway, now that you've finished whatever it is you were doing.
Writing, mostly. There were a lot of things that I had to put in order to explain before.
You've been working too hard, Mr. Canterbury. You really have, way beyond the call of duty.
Yes, well, that's practically over now. And I can dry your dishes with a clear conscience.
What time will we get there, do you think?
Oh, well, let's see. Farley Abbott's about, what, it's about a half an hour the other side of Exeter. We should be there before the light goes.
Then what?
Well, it depends on whether he's there or not.
He has to be, Jack.
The firm's been to a hell of a lot of trouble if he isn't.
He has to be. Magnus spent time down here as a boy. I remember him talking about cycling on the beach with Wick.
Yes, well, that could be just a fairy tale.
Like the one he told Poppy, you mean? About his mother. Taking her to church on Sunday and doing the garden.
Well, who knows? Maybe that's exactly what he is doing. Something as innocent as that.
I told you he hasn't got a mother. She died when he was 8.
Behind you, on the back seat.
What?
There's a manila file there. Can you reach it?
I think so. Got it.
It's a background. It's what I've been able to put together in the last 24 hours.
You have been busy.
Yes. And hope I know why the Americans put so much faith in their plastic computers. Read it.
Sure.
I want you to.
Tall Trees Nursing Home.
A mental home. It's near Exeter. Dorothy Godchild Pym, nay Watermaster, has been an inmate there for over 40 years. Since Magnus was 8, in fact.
She's still alive.
Asleep in herself.
Dear Lord.
You've got a copy of her birth certificate there and her marriage certificate.
No death certificate.
No.
What are all these?
Oh, they relate to Rick's various activities. As many as I could lay my hands on.
The Magnus Star and Equitable Company.
Incorporated on the day Magnus was born, with a paid-up share capital of £2,000 and the stated purpose of providing life insurance for the elderly, needy and disabled.
Alamein Sickness and Health Company. The Military Permanent and Pensions Fund.
Don't waste your time. They're all as phony as hell.
I don't understand.
Ricky Pym was a con man, Mary. You knew that, surely?
No. I never met him. Neither did Tom. Magnus forbade it, absolutely.
Now you know why.
Yes. They were two of a sort, weren't they?
Maybe it takes one to know one.
Mr. Canterbury? Mr. Canterbury?
What is it, Miss Dean?
I wonder if I could ask you to bring some more coal up from the cellar.
Of course.
The scuttle's just about empty.
I bought this down for you to look at.
What?
It's just an old photograph. I came across it when I was going through my papers.
Thank you.
Actually, I thought she looked a bit like you.
Well, I can't say I see the resemblance.
Can't you?
Oh, it says Dorothy on the back. What a coincidence.
Yes. I think it must be a photograph of my mother.
Heavens, don't you know?
I hardly remember her. She died when I was very young.
And who brought you up? Someone must have taught you the social graces.
Well, my father, of course, and I suppose Lipsy more than anyone.
Who?
Lipsy, my stepmother. She was a refugee from Germany, Jewish. Very beautiful.
How did you get on with her?
I adored her, Miss D.
Only one doesn't always with stepmothers.
She was a wonderful woman. She taught me German, music. She taught me to learn, in fact, everything I could. She used to say that our world must be inside our heads. Then we can go anywhere we like with it.
She was quite right, of course. Especially if you're going to be a refugee.
Yes.
Is she still alive?
No, she died. She died when I was still at school. She fell from a window.
Oh, how awful.
Yes.
I must say, you do seem to have had a most unfortunate childhood.
I suppose it's made me what I am, Miss D. I'll go and get the coal, shall I?
Thank you.
Won't be a tick.
Fancy. Another Dorothy. Yes. Well, perhaps there is just the faintest resemblance.
Well, it's going to be here or hereabouts.
They give you directions.
They said something about a little square, a sort of ornamental garden. It's just past the railway station somewhere.
Well, there's the station.
Okay, when we come to the square, we turn right. It can't be far now.
Close to the sea, aren't we?
Stuart Magnus.
Yes.
I just hope this won't turn out to be a wild goose chase.
It won't be. I know it won't. Jack.
Hmm?
The Vienna burn box, the one they think Magnus took.
He did take it, Mary, no question.
Yes, well, what's in it?
Oh, the usual gubbins. Anything you'd rather self-destruct than let fall into the wrong hands.
What about the station gun?
Guns don't self-destruct. Uh-oh, it's a replica. Looks like we're there. Hello, what's the hold-up?
Sorry, sir, you can't get through this way. There's a gas leak in the square.
My ID, Superintendent. Your people should be expecting me.
Oh, just a minute, sir. I've got a list here. Bramall. Oh, here you are, sir. Brotherhood. Thank you very much. And the lady?
Pym.
P-Y-M. She should be on there somewhere.
Pym. Oh, Pym, got it. Good, that completes the set.
Have you tracked him down yet?
Yes, sir. In one of those Victorian boarding houses, sir. Off the far side of the square. Using the name Canterbury, apparently.
That's our man.
Seems he's a well-liked locally.
He's always well-liked. It's part of his cover.
Where are the rest of my lot, Superintendent?
Waiting in the church hall, sir. Next street, about 50 yards from the square.
Do we have to, Jack? I'm not sure I can face
him. I'm not sure I can. We'll stay in the car, if it's all the same to you.
I'm not sure the Chief Constable will like that, sir.
We'll move later, if he insists. It's my case. I need to see what's going on.
Well, I'll have to ask him, sir.
You do that. Is there somewhere we can park where we can see the house?
There's a little side street that leads into the square.
Sounds perfect. How do I get there?
You go back to the station, first left, and then second left brings you straight into it.
Thanks.
Don't get too close to the square. We don't want him to see you.
You have finished with the writing now, have you, Mr. Canterbury?
Oh, yes. All finished.
Oh, so nice to have your company in the evening.
It's very cosy. It's very cosy indeed.
How's the cocoa?
Just right, as always.
Good. Good.
I was just thinking, that new shawl, it really does sit well on you, doesn't it?
It's a godsend. I don't know how I've ever got through a winter without it. Or without you, Mr. Canterbury.
Nonsense. Could I have a biscuit, do you think?
Well, as if you have to ask. Help yourself. You know where they are.
Yes, I know. Is this a letter from your sister in Sri Lanka, the one that came this morning? Would you like me to read it for you?
Oh, yes, please. If you're sure you have the time.
Oh, yes. I have all the time in the world now. Did you know my mother's name was Dorothy? Before tonight, Emmy?
Oh, yes. Long time ago. In fact, I often wondered if that was the reason you kept coming back here.
One of them, perhaps. Anyway, dear Dorothy, I think of you more a good deal now that summer is here in Colombo. For winter, dreadful winter, it must be upon you in poor old England. And the mere thought of all that sleet and snow chills me to the marrow.
I'm still feeling cold.
Oh, I'll survive.
I can't turn the heater on without starting the engine.
I know.
I'm sorry.
How much longer, Jack?
Your guess is as good as mine. Better, probably. Yes, Superintendent.
Begging your pardon, sir, but perhaps the lady would like to come into the church hall.
No, thank you.
Only it's much warmer there, and there's a bit of company, too.
She's better off here.
Well, this could well take all night and all day tomorrow, probably.
She's all right as she is.
When you need her, this is where she'll be.
Well, I'm afraid she won't, sir, to be truthful. Not when we go in. If we have to, that is. She'll have to withdraw to a safer position, and so will you.
We'll play that one as it comes, shall we?
Well...
Keep us informed, Superintendent.
Right you are, sir.
Idiot.
Of course, he has to go between. They've chosen him for his bedside manner.
You're shivering, Miss D.
No. I'm all right, really.
Let me fix that shawl properly for you. It's not doing you any good like that. There. Dear Miss D.
Thank you.
And we'll have a bit more coal on that fire, shall we?
As you wish. Did we finish Alice's letter?
The rest is about the race riots. I didn't think you'd want to hear about that.
I most certainly would not. There's enough unpleasantness in the world.
Yes, that's what I thought.
You're feeling better now, aren't you, Mr. Canterbury? Better than when you came.
How can you tell?
Oh, I can tell. You've exercised it.
Exercised what?
Whatever ghost was troubling you. You'll be all right now. I can tell.
Yes.
Oh, who can that be at this time of night?
Don't worry, I'll get it.
Tell them to go away, whoever it is.
Hello. Hello? Yes. Hello, Bill. Well, thank you. Thank you. That's very generous of you. And of the minister. Thank him for me, will you? Yes, yes. Why don't we? I'll look forward to it. Thanks again. Good of you to ring.
Good news, Mr. Canterbury.
Oh, yes. Apparently, the minister's quite pleased with some work I did for him. That was his private secretary, Sir William Wells.
I see.
Hard man to please, the minister. It's practically unheard of him to hand out compliments. It wasn't the old man himself, of course. He's in all-night session. That was his private secretary.
So you said?
Jolly decent of Bill to pass it on. That's medal material, Pim, dear boy. That's what he said, medal material. Be nice to have a gong, wouldn't it? Put it over the fireplace. Our own private medal, earned on the premises.
Why does he call you Pim, if your name is Canterbury?
That's my first name, Pim. My Pip, Pim Canterbury.
Well, we're both too old for first names now, aren't we?
Come on, Miss D. You must be tired. Let me see you up to your bedroom. What's the matter?
Is it my imagination, or is the square very quiet tonight?
It's always quiet, isn't it?
Just seems more so tonight.
I don't think so. It's probably they've all gone to bed.
Yes. Yes, probably. Are you all right, Mr. Canterbury? You've gone quite pale.
Yes, yes, of course I am. Perhaps I shouldn't have had that cocoa tonight.
I do hope it doesn't keep you awake.
I'm sure it won't. I'll just see you upstairs, shall I?
Thank you. I like the idea of a medal. I do so admire a man who gets a medal. Jack?
Hmm?
What are those men up to?
Where?
On the roof, there. See?
Oh, yes.
Who are they?
Oh, God knows. SAS, probably. Nothing but the best will do now, it seems. Uh-oh, here comes the super.
Not again.
He's doing his best, really. What news, Superintendent?
Message from the roof, sir. They wondered if you knew exactly what weapon our friend is alleged to have in his possession.
Well, if it's the one in the burn box, it's a standard issue service revolver, a Browning 38 automatic.
Oh, God.
What about the ammunition, sir? Only it would be nice for them to know the carrier, you see.
Well, short nose, don't you think?
But definitely not a stopper or a dum-dum.
Why the hell should he want a dum-dum?
Well, how should I know, sir? No one tells me anything. It's tight lips all round. You any idea how many rounds he's got?
Oh, for God's sake, he's not going to start a war.
Start a what?
Assume he has one magazine and a spare, Superintendent.
Thank you, sir. You can't blame them for asking, sir.
No, no, of course not.
Oh, I don't suppose you know how good a marksman our friend is?
Very good.
He's been trained and topped up all his life.
Good job they asked, then. I'll tell him.
Why don't they just let me go in and bring him out?
That's not the way it works, Mary. You know that.
Mr. Canterbury. Are you there, Mr. Canterbury?
One moment, Misty. Sorry. I was running a bath. What's the matter?
Didn't you hear it just now? A funny noise.
No. Where?
On the roof. I'm sure there's something scrabbling about on the roof.
Probably a couple of cats prowling around, Misty.
Do you think so?
I'm sure so. Nothing to worry about.
I do hope you're right, Mr. Canterbury. I don't like strange noises. They make me nervous.
Me too.
Good night, Mr. Canterbury.
Good night. Good night, Stubber.
The Chief Constable's compliments, sir, and he'd like you and the lady to move into the church hall now, if you wouldn't mind, sir.
No, Jack, I can't face them. I really can't.
All right, Mary. We stay here, Superintendent.
The Chief Constable is rather insistent.
So am I. Anything else?
Well, what about this box device our friend is carrying?
Oh, the burn box? What about it?
Well, I've asked in the church hall, sir, but they seem a bit above the technicalities in there. They referred me to you.
Naturally.
Only the boys on the roof would like to know what sort of charge it contains.
It's self-consuming. It's not a weapon.
Ah, but could it be used as a weapon? By someone, say, who's lost the balance of his mind?
Well, not unless he puts someone inside it.
What? Oh, I'll tell that, sir. They like a choke up there. It gets the tension out of them. Not unless he puts someone
inside. What was that?
You stay here.
What the hell?
Wait for me, Jack!
Hey, come back, miss. You can't go over there.
Mr. Canterbury.
Come away, please, ma'am.
It's locked, Sarge.
Who are you? What are you doing?
Come here, lad. Don't want to get in the way.
What happened? What's going on?
Ah, Steve, in you go.
My bathroom.
Look yourself.
Oh, bloody hell. You better come in, Sarge. He's topped himself.
Guess this much.
Oh, what happened? What's going on?
Wait a minute. Golden Benny.
Well, Sarge, please tell me what's going on. Oh, Mr. Cadden.
Get her out of here. Come away, man. Oh. There's nothing you can do for him now.
Why? Why? I don't understand.
Look after it, Jim. She's had a hell of a shot.
Right, Sarge. Come on, let's go down.
Why do you have to do it in the car? Very messy. What's this? Don't know. Just a Tom. Whoever Tom me. Boyfriend? Could be. What's it say? Yeah. You see, Tom, I am the bridge you must walk over to get from Rick to life. That all? Looks like it. Yep.
What the hell's it mean?
Yours not the reason why, soldier. Let them out there sort it out. That's what they're paid for.
That was the eighth and final episode of A Perfect Spy, the novel by John le Carré, adapted for radio by René Basilico. It starred James Fox as Magnus Pym, with James Grout as Jack Brotherhood and Brenda Bruce as Miss Dubber, and featured Harriet Walter as Mary Pym. Beau Brammel was played by John Nettleton, Nigel by Royce Mills, Kate by Natasha Pine, Dawny by Barry J. Gordon, the Police Superintendent and Mountjoy by Sean Arnold, the First Soldier by Patterson Joseph, Second Soldier by Desmond Askew, and the Sergeant by Sean Baker. The theme music was written by Max Harris, and the program was produced by John Fawcett Wilson.